I'm going to keep this simple. According to medicine, they like to call cancer a malignant tumor or a malignant neoplasm. And malignant just means it's getting worse. It's resisting treatment. It could produce death. And neoplasm just means, neo comes from the Greek neos, meaning new, and plasma from growth or body. So a neoplasm just means new growth or new body. Medicine loves to use all these very detailed Latin and Greek words. But they could have just said, you got some new growth in your body that could hurt you. They have to say you have a malignant neoplasm. And part of the ways that we heal ourselves of cancer is not listening to these words that we associate with scary. Forget a malignant neoplasm. You got something growing in your body. Heck, we all do. They break cancer down into two categories, a carcinoma, which is usually a cancer in the skin and mucous membranes, and a sarcoma, which is usually cancer in the muscles, connective tissues, bone, organs. And sometimes they add leukemia as a third level of the blood. But the reason I don't go into this in depth, because I teach a lot of continuing educational classes, the reality is because as medicine is always evolving, it's always changing, which means it's always currently wrong. The latest description of cancer, I just pulled out the latest one for you. It says, cancer, an imprecise term used to describe over 200 different types of neoplasms. So already, before we're even going to discuss it, we're already wrong again. Because now there's so many different types of cancers, and there's so many different types of cancers because there's so many different types of us. We're all individuals. We're all beautiful snowflakes and fingerprints, and there's no two alike. That's what makes life so much fun. So what do we know? It's an uncontrolled growth of abnormal cells. For some reason, your body is growing some cells. And it can be lethal because it can invade an area, destroy an organ that you need, destroy a tissue. You hear the word metastasize or connect or spread to another area of the body. Some doctors nowadays are saying that everybody has cancer already. That we all have cells in our body that are mutating and getting weird. But some of us, our immune system just eats it up. I mean, a basic science is immunology. And in your body, you constantly have cells that are dying and mutating and going weird. And if they don't die on their own, your immune system then kills them. So your immune system's basic job is survival and repair. We all have cancer, probably. We all have mutating cells and all sorts of weird, crazy stuff going on inside here. But we also have a system that is checking that and rebalancing it. So cancer, to me, is not so much about, ooh, you have a cancer, some alien spores from outer space landed on you, and you have a cancer. Cancer, the real question should be, why isn't your immune system taking care of you? Why isn't your body healing itself? Because that's the basic function of this thing here. It's supposed to be surviving and repairing. Why isn't it doing that? That's the question. We got to get out of that, getting lost down that medical road of your particular neoplasm, or you have oat cell, or maybe you have hairy cell leukemia. Because your doctor got you all worked up into thinking that you had a very rare or different cancer, or this type of cancer is not like this type of cancer, or this specific one is very unusual and it usually doesn't spread, but it's spreading on you, and this thing is benign, but we think it's going. Forget all that. The question should be, why is your body not healing you? Why is it not eating that up? Why is it not taking care of you? And the answer is, because you're not giving it half a chance to do so. Now, I don't mean to pick out a particular person and say you're bad, and if you have cancer, had cancer, it was because you were bad. You just weren't creating the lifestyle that you needed for you. Sure, there's always someone at work sitting next to you, smoking a cigarette, holding it with a candy bar, drinking a and snorting some too. Okay, there's always that person and they're fit as a fiddle and you want to kill them. Okay, there's always that person. But we're not talking about that person. We're talking about you. Healing is individual. We're talking about you, and what are we going to do with you to stop causing cancer and start healing you and start assisting that immune system so it wants to gobble up all those weird cells. Let's take a look at conventional cancer therapy for a minute, what we might call medical cancer therapy. I don't have a lot of words to describe it besides crude and disfiguring and painful and primitive, and it seems as though the main methods are used in America are surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, of which my patients referred to them to as mutilation, poisoning, and burning. It's barbaric. We're in the Stone Age of medicine. Chemotherapy and radiation also cause cancer. They're carcinogenic. That always made me laugh that we use things that are carcinogenic to treat cancer. I can't figure that one out. Maybe it's too involved for me, too advanced. In fact, a lot of the cancer diagnosis itself, just the diagnosis, is carcinogenic. Mammograms, carcinogenic. Okay, let's talk about chemotherapy for just a minute here. In February 28, 1989, the GAO, the Government Accounting Office of the United States, did a report on chemotherapy. Two important facts were revealed in that report in 1989. The first one is they did a 10-year study on the use of chemotherapy in breast cancer in America. And their conclusion was, is there was no observable improvement in anyone who had breast cancer by using chemotherapy. So why, their question was, has the usage of it increased when nobody's being healed by it? So just because something increases in usage in medicine doesn't mean because it's working. It means because they're trying to figure out more ways to make things to sell you, to make money. The big cancer cure, everybody knows you're going to be a 10 times trillionaire if you come up with that pill that no one's ever going to find. But a second thing happened that was very interesting. For the first time, the General Accounting Office is a branch of the United States government, and they're designed to statistically gather information and report on it in an unbiased way. So they called this report chemotherapy. Patients have yet to receive any benefits from it. And for the first time in the history of the GAO, they were forced through the government to change the name of that publication to Breast Cancer Patient Survival. Believe me, there was a stink in the government, and they wrote about it in that report, how they were forced to change their name to something that sounded positive, even when it wasn't. The chemical magic bullet, chemotherapy, the war on cancer, I've seen it in they're just public relations ploys. They're trying to keep that medical lie going that you're going to be able to do anything for that 50 or 60 years, and we're going to come up with a chemical that's going to fix it all. So they're trying to promote that lie, and they're going to keep it going as long as possible. And they always come up with a new one. And don't you see about the cancer cures in the magazines? I have some of them here we'll look at later. But they're just not there. They're not working. It's not happening. When you go out of the United States, like I do often, yearly, and I've taught outside the United States for 15 years in England, Germany, Italy, France, Spain, you get to see some interesting things. One thing I've seen is people living a lot longer in these countries doing nothing about their cancer than people in this country that are undergoing conventional therapy. Most studies outside the United States show that you have no better chance for a cancer cure today than you had 30 years ago. Statistically, it's the same. What's the new rage now? Prophylactic chemotherapy, preventative chemotherapy. You've probably heard about it. The drug companies are going to try to get us to where we are all taking drugs to make us so we don't get diseases. And they're testing right now as a prophylactic chemotherapeutic drug. In other words, the drug companies want to start giving us all pills so in our lifetime we don't develop diseases. In fact, a lot of them are given to newborn babies now. The new hepatitis C vaccine is given to newborns within less than 24 hours of birth in many cities all over the United States today. I hate to tell you what that vaccine is made out of. So we pus from people's livers. It's made from the blood of drug addicts and people infected with HIV. It's pretty ugly stuff, and we're injecting it in newborns before they're 24 hours old. Doesn't sound like a good idea to me, but the wave of the future, as far as pharmacy is concerned and certain government agencies, is medicating all of us prophylactically and genetic engineering, in case you don't know. So that's the chemical story. We'll talk more about it later. Radiation, I mean, come on, guys. We know that radiation causes cancer, and we're using it to burn out cancer, and it causes other cancers when it burns out cancer. And, it, you know, doctors have a great way of describing it, but let me just tell you one story. I got 1,000 of these, but let me tell you one. I had a woman come in my clinic. She had a squamous cell tumor in her perineum, in between her anus and her vagina. She wanted to have it removed and then undergo my therapy. And she wanted to undergo the therapy, and I said, it doesn't sound like a good idea. I don't know about you guys, but to me, the idea of a radiation beam hitting me in the nuts, that's a medical term, sounds a little frightening, guys. And she says, no, they said it's laser-guided, smart bomb. I think General Schwarzkopf was even going to be there with a pointer. And I said, it just doesn't sound good to me. But she went ahead and did it. Paid a lot of money for it. And 2 weeks later in my clinic, she was sitting in the toilet having a bowel movement, and the fecal matter came out her vagina. And 2 weeks after that, she was dead. Now, I got 1,000 of these stories about the smart bomb laser-guided pinpoint radiation that's more like a cannonball. I have not seen radiation be effective and hurt a lot of people. So what are the real statistics on chemotherapy and radiation and the cover-up and all of that? I don't know. There's too much jumble of lies out there. But there have been a lot of prominent doctors that have studied this for 20 and 30 years, and the results have been that untreated cancer patients in other countries live up to 4 times longer than those who undergo conventional cancer treatment in America. So it seems like doing nothing about it can be better than doing something about it if it's the medical approach in this country. Those are not very good results. And I have seen this in clinics all over the world. Radical surgery, I've seen it do much more harm than good. Staying in good health is your best chance to heal yourself. not be some hopeless invalid with half your parts gone. Then it's real hard to heal yourself. There's this nonsense of catching cancer symptoms early increase a person's chance of survival. Yes, if you follow natural healing, you can kill the patient quicker if you use conventional therapy. So discovering cancer early on is important, but not if you're going to use surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. I went to an international symposium in Amsterdam, Holland, a few years back on AIDS, because there is a lot of controversy on AIDS around the world. And we're looking at another immune disease, could be considered similar to cancer in many ways. And it's killing a lot of people. And one of the reasons international symposiums are held in areas like Brussels, Belgium, or Geneva, Switzerland, where I've been to some, and Amsterdam, Holland, and not New York City, is because they want to get a straight answer. So doctors come from all over the world where they're not under pressure from pharmaceutical industries and where they're not under pressure from medical associations to come up with the truth. One of the symposiums that I attended was why in America, when people die from AIDS, are their symptoms so radically different than most of the people that die from AIDS around the world? Why are the people that die from AIDS in America, their symptoms upon their death, different than everybody else who dies from AIDS around the world? And all the doctors deduced, it was the medical treatment. People in America are not dying of AIDS. People in America are dying from the medical treatment of AIDS. Does that make sense? This is what's happening, and this is what I saw with my patients. I didn't see those symptoms in my patients in the European clinics. I saw those symptoms here. Medicine in its attempt to heal you might just kill you or give you a side effect, which is a nice name for another disease that can be worse than the disease you had in the first place. Doesn't sound like a good plan. Granted, we need medical approach for certain things. Neurosurgery, putting your arm back on. Hey, this is great stuff. But that's about it. We have to stop using medicine for curing diseases because it doesn't work. It'll kill you quicker, or at least give you another disease that'll probably be worse. The only way that I know to heal disease is right there. And the way we're going to heal cancer, I'm convinced, is a massive grassroots operation. Brenda knows this. That's why she's out speaking. I know it. That's why I'm out speaking. Because I didn't forget my focus as a doctor. My colleagues did. But my focus as a doctor was helping you get well. Helping you heal yourself. And the way that I can do that best today is by getting out here and telling you the honest truth. The National Cancer Program of the American government gets a budget of $2 billion a year. That's $2,000 million a year. And I think we need to demand a restructuring or a complete destruction of that government program. All it's doing is killing us and maiming people, and putting that money in the hands of people like the medical and pharmaceutical industries. Let's talk a little bit about the different types of cancer. Let's see if I'm following my schedule. Yes, that's great. I don't have a schedule, so I don't have anyone to follow. I'm probably just going to go till 1 o'clock. I've come up here at such a short time. If you got to go, I'm always big at canceling breaks, and I probably just caused some hysteria by doing that. But I think I'm just going to roll, and I know you got to go. I don't want you to suppress your elimination because that's not going to start healing you. But I'm just going to go till one. And if we fall apart, we fall apart, but we won't. Different types of cancer. Let's talk about some of the biggest ones. Again, so many of my patients got stuck on their particular type of cancer. And this is easy to do because doctors keep wanting to make it mysterious and dissect it down and differentiate it. But the reality is the foundations of healing are the same for all diseases. I will go into specifics for certain types of the biggest cancers. But let's look at the biggest killers right now. The number one killer cancer is lung cancer. Cancer, by the way, in general, is the number two cause of death in America. I think you all know that. But the biggest killer cancer is lung cancer. Since 1950, the risk of lung cancer is up and killing people at a rate of 3.5 times greater than it was in 1950. And for women, since 1987, it's up 7 times. It's rapidly increasing. These cancer rates aren't getting less. The cures aren't being found in a pill. Obviously, it has to do largely with the tobacco industry, use of tobacco, and what's in the air. Having clean air and not smoking alone would probably eradicate the majority of lung cancer in America. Secondhand smoke, we've taken it way too lightly. Secondhand smoke causes lung cancer. It's estimated that 500,000 people a year, up to that, start developing cancer in their lungs due to secondhand smoke. If you sit next to someone who's smoking, they're giving you cancer. I've been known to lightly remove a cigar out of someone's mouth in an elevator before. The biggest incidence cancers among men and women together as a group, it's colorectal. Interesting, colorectal is 50% lower in vegetarians. The biggest incidence in men, besides lung, is prostate. Prostate cancers increased 230% in the last decade. There's a doctor out there, you guys, just wanting to shove a drill up your penis. New data from hospitals. I find something very interesting about autopsies. Around the world, autopsies are performed on about 50% of hospital patients. It used to be that way here in America about 20 years ago. Now the autopsy rate in America is about 2%. When I ask the international doctors why that is, they say because the doctors know that they're going to uncover iatrogenic death. In other words, they're going to uncover that the patient died from the medical treatment. So that's why we do less autopsies today. But as far as autopsies are concerned, recently, 1/3 of all men who die from any cause upon autopsies over 50 years of age have cancer growing in their prostate. 1/3 of all men. So that's what's happening right now. We're not going to see those statistics for another decade. But right now, 1/3 of men in America over 50 years of age have prostate cancer. That's what the autopsy numbers show. All these cancers, we're going to talk about a number of programs. I'd like to talk now about what causes cancer. These things that we want to stop doing that cause cancer in our body. Some of the biggest ones. Some you may know about, some you may not. Besides chemotherapy and radiation, which we know cause cancer. You can't get the truth on this issue. I am convinced that to eliminate cancer in America, more than likely it would mean such a devastating economical disaster, this country may not recover. It could be worse than the Great Depression. It might turn us into a third world country. I'll say that again. If we were to eliminate cancer in America, we would upset the Dow 30. Do you know what the Dow 30 is? The 30 blue chip stocks that make up the Dow. Most of them would have to go away or radically change. A lot of people theorize that in America, if we were to try to halt this rapidly increasing epidemic of cancer in America that's turning into the Black Plague, we would then have to stop causing cancer, which would mean that we would then have to stop the industries that cause cancer. And to stop those industries could collapse the economy of America and the world. Ah, yeah, yeah. Because you know what? We're tough. We'll survive it. Hey, come on over to my house. We can do this. We can do it. We can make it happen. Medicine and pharmaceuticals alone is a $1 trillion industry. It's 15% of the gross national product of the United States alone. So why do you think people are saying, let's look for a pill that's going to cure cancer? Let's look for a surgical procedure that's going to cure cancer. Let's look for a chemical or some radiation. But don't look over here, because if you look there at what's causing cancer and decide to do something about it, you'll destroy the economy of the United States and the world. Are you hearing me? So let's look at, well, maybe we'll come up with another pill. Researchers know this stuff isn't working, but everybody thinks that that is too big of a bite to take, too big of a step to take. I'm crazy enough to think it's not. Medicine and pharmaceuticals, we'd have to abandon most of it. The beef industry, big cause of cancer in America. The dairy industry, the agribusiness in general, with the insecticides and pesticides. Toxic chemicals are linked to almost half the cancers in America. Plastics to petroleum and everything in between would have to be redone to where we don't get cancer from buying and using these things. But these people are all the biggest sponsors of cancer research. Maybe they're telling the people researching what not to come up with and try to find a cure somewhere else. Toxic chemicals cause cancer, and almost every major corporation in America knows they are killing people. Do you think the tobacco industry CEOs were telling the truth when they all stood in front of Congress and the Senate and said, "I swear I never thought cigarettes were hurting anybody"? Give me a break. But it's such a big problem. That's why I'm convinced I can't change things in Washington, because when I went there, they split my head open. That was a good sign. That's why I'm doing it here. Okay? We had a Clean Water Act in California, trying to clean up our water, because what was in our water? Cancer-causing chemicals. So all the voters in California finally agreed on something, which is not easy in my state, and we agreed to clean up the water. We passed it, we sent it off to the governor, and in 2 years, they didn't implement it. Finally, a task force said why. And when they looked into it, they found that all the companies that are polluting the water were all the companies that gave the political contributions to elect the governor. How could he then go back and bite the hand that was feeding him? This is a problem that we have in this country. And the reason you have to know this is because when you go about to heal your cancer or help someone else heal theirs or enlighten people about this, you are going to run into this massive wall of bull that's been built out there about the pill cure for cancer, because the real causes of cancer, no one wants to touch that. Heck, I saw a study in Europe that said in the average American food basket, there's 80 carcinogenic chemicals. When you go through the grocery store and you walk out with a basket of food, 80 cancer-causing chemicals. Most of these chemicals have been outlawed in other countries of the world. What causes cancer? I'll tell you what causes cancer. We cause cancer in ourselves. Let me tell you a little bit about what I call the average American. Let me paint a picture here of the average American. The average American eats 12 entire 3,000-pound cows in their lifetime, chews them up and tries to swallow them, runs them through their bloodstream, and hopefully poops them out. That's a lot of meat. 12 entire cows. Just lie down and imagine that, trying to fit that in your mouth and suck that through. And add another 12 pigs to that, and add another 3,000 birds, and add another 3,000 fish and sea creatures, and add tens of thousands of gallons of milk, and imagine that all going into your mouth. It would fill up 20 rooms this size. Getting you hungry for lunch? The average American eats a high-fat, low-fiber, low-nutrition food program. The average American does no preventative maintenance. They know how to change the oil in their car and flush the radiator, but they don't know how to change the oil in their liver or how to flush their bowel. The average American doesn't move, and we move less today than ever before in history. The average American has a bad attitude, is overstressed, has a negative self-image. We're going to talk about that one later. Sits on a couch watching reruns of in front of a color radioactive tube. It's not a very pretty picture, is it? And we wonder why we have cancer and why that rate is an epidemic today. That is the average American. When you go to your doctor and they say you have cancer and they say you're going to be dead in 6 months, they have based that on the fact that you were that person or are that person. And if you continue to suck those 12 cows and 12 pigs and 6,000 birds and fish and all those gallons of milk through your mouth, you'll probably be dead in 6 months. If you continue to sit in front of that radioactive tube and watch negative affirmations blast at you 24 hours a day, you're probably going to be dead in 6 months. But if you decide to change, this is a scary word we're going to talk about today. If you decide to change physically, emotionally, and spiritually, if you decide to stop doing what caused you disease and begin doing what will heal you, you can throw the doctor's diagnosis and prognosis out, because the only thing they know statistically what's going to happen to anybody with cancer is based on very sick, ill, poisoned, negative, disgusting average Americans. Do you know what I'm saying? First, we're going to go through the various programs in my clinic and talk about what I know in those particular programs are danger areas to look at. There's certainly a lot of danger areas, but let's look at some of them. Food is a good first start. Remember, we're going to start with stop. What are we going to do to stop taking things into our body, mind, and spirit that are going to give us cancer? It doesn't do any good to begin healing cancer when you're still continuing to do these things. Do you think I wanted to throw these people out of my clinic that still were smoking 2 cigarettes a day? Do you think I'm unloving or just a mean, nasty man? Or I didn't feel... I had to do that. You can't... Okay, this might be news. You can't heal yourself of cancer while you're smoking cigarettes that give you cancer. I wish I could, but I don't know how to do that. You can't do that. You have to stop what's causing the cancer and begin what'll heal it. Yeah, I like that. Food program. It's estimated by many oncologists that 70% of cancers are diet-related. Animal food. Let's take a look at a booklet here. American Cancer Society, Taking Control, Steps to a Healthier Life and Reducing Your Cancer Risk. Taking control of your lifestyle is the key to reducing your cancer risk. I think that's what I've been saying all morning. Today, scientists think most cancers are related to lifestyle and environment. What you eat, drink, and where you work and play. Sounds like one of my handouts. So the good news is you can reduce your own cancer risk by taking control of the things in your daily life. And here are five protective factors to add to your life. Let's read the five protective factors. Number one, eat more cabbage family vegetables. Studies show they protect you from cancer, especially cancer of the digestion and respiratory. Lung cancer, number one. Among men and women, digestive cancer, number two. These are big ones. Broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, cabbages, and kale. Here's a suggestion from the American Cancer Society on eating more of those. This is pretty good. What's number two? Add more high-fiber foods. High-fiber diet protects you against colon cancer. Fruits and vegetables, peaches, strawberries, potatoes, starch, potatoes, spinach, potatoes, wheat, and whole grains, rice, and wheat bread, whole wheat bread. Choose foods high in vitamin A. Well, it's interesting. The National Cancer Institute told us that they thought beta-carotene might be dangerous. And now the American Cancer Society is telling us that it's going to protect you and heal your cancer. I wonder who's paying for the researches here. High in vitamin A, it may help protect you against cancers. Fresh foods with beta-carotene, like carrots, peaches, apricots, squash, broccoli, are the best source. Not vitamin pills. It says right here, not vitamin pills. Why would that be? It would be because the people that healed themselves of cancer and reduced their risk did not do so by taking vitamins. They did so in the study by eating more vegetables. I know, it's a pretty radical thought, eating more vegetables. Do the same with vitamin C. This vitamin protects you against all types of cancers. You find it naturally in fresh fruits and vegetables like grapefruit, cantaloupe, oranges, strawberries, red and green peppers, broccoli, and tomatoes. But the National Cancer Institute dismissed vitamin C, said it had no effect. And number five is the pretty radical one. Exercise will help you. Walking is an ideal for most people, and exercise reduces your risk of cancer. So we're not even getting into my clinical programs here. What most of my patients were doing coming from other clinics that were supposedly on a program to heal their cancer wasn't even up to the beginning guidelines of the American Cancer Society. I mean, look at what they're telling us we should do as far as food. Okay, why am I so much against animal food when it comes to cancer? There's a lot of good reasons for that. Because animal food causes cancer. Hormones cause cancer. Growth hormones cause cancer. Steroids cause cancer. We know that for a lot of reasons. Animals are pumped with hormones. Cows are pumped with hormones to grow bigger and better and more meat. So you get more meat, more money, you make more money. Hormones are used in the dairy industry to get more milk. Remember the big stink a couple years ago about that hormone or steroid used in the dairy industry and everybody was worried about it? I talked to a dairy farmer and he laughed at me and he said, I don't know why everybody's so worried about this. We've used over 200 different ones to date. This is just the first one that got talked about. It happens in chickens, it happens in eggs. In all types of animal and animal product farming, they're using growth hormones to create growth. Bigger cows, bigger eggs, more milk means more money. So why not use the growth hormones? What happens is when you take these growth hormones into your body, they give you cancer. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. Now, some people have said to me, look, you know, I grew up eating meat. I said, hey, I did too, you know, until I almost died at 16. And I like meat. Hey, well, you know, you can learn to chase your taste buds. And they go, well, what about if I use this, you know, organic range-fed beef that the cows have been allowed to pray for 5 minutes before we cut their head off or something like that? I hear, maybe it's California, but I hear all these requests. And I go, look, even if it doesn't have any hormones, which I wouldn't necessarily trust that, it still has its natural hormones that grow it from 300 pounds to 3,000 pounds in a year or two. All animal hormones are alien to your body and will cause cancer. Now, does that mean you have to be a vegetarian for the rest of your life? That's your business. All I'm telling you now here is a program that will stop you from developing cancer in your body. And if you want to stop your cancers growing, you need to stop eating anything that had a face on it or came from something with a face on it. What you do once you're healed, that's your business. If you want to create your disease again, go for it and start doing what killed you in the first place. You can make it happen. A lot of my patients went from disease to health to disease. I thought they were going to wear themselves out. It's just kind of normal to do that. Sometimes we can't believe we've well and we healed ourselves, so we got to make ourselves sick again. Try it a second time and see if it really worked. Hey, we all got to do something to entertain ourselves. I talked about prostate cancer being up 230% in the last decade. Uterine cancer is up, fibroids. Why would this be? When we are young, we have organs in our body, especially the reproductive organs, sexual organs, glands. Around puberty, our body gets a high dose of hormones to develop those particular organs. In a man, the prostate and the testes, in a woman, the uterus and the ovaries. And then once they are grown to maturity, our body stops growing those areas. Today in America, we have every man can't go to sleep at night, wakes up every couple hours, can't pee, that prostate's so enlarged. Benign prostate hyperplasia, BPH. We have women, fibroid tumors. Half the women that came to my clinic had fibroid tumors. Why are these areas growing?